that took place so long ago in Bethlehem. I'm going to go this morning to Luke chapter 1. To Luke chapter 1 and look at a man and a woman that lived here, just the account that takes place just before we have the account of Bethlehem. You know, I think of the scripture as I go to this passage on Zacharias and Elizabeth of 2 Chronicles 16:9 that says, "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." The passage of scripture that I believe applies to all generations. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. It's been a few years since I have spoke on this, on Zacharias and Elizabeth, but there are a couple that have always just kind of held a special fascination of these that lived at that time. Here we have an event that is prior to the events of the New Testament and the birth of Christ. There's been 400 years that have passed, and there's been no prophet. There's been no special revelation from God. It was after speaking through, and you know, if you go back to the book of Malachi, just go back a book, just back past Matthew to the end of Malachi. And there in the end of that book, the last two verses is, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." There had been a lot of speculation about Elijah and about the Messiah that had been prophesied as well. But many of the prophecies now in these 400 years have been forgotten. Many in fact, Judaism as a whole is mainly looking for a political deliverer at this time to rid them of the Roman oppression. Many have cast aside and forgotten about the prophecy of Elijah. Their present situation caused them to take their eyes off of the eternal. Didn't that happen with us? The situation that we're in at the moment causes us to get our eyes off of the eternal. And I believe this happened in a large part with those at that day. And yet, there are faithful Bible believers who know the scriptures and the prophecies for a true Savior who will also save them from their sins. You know, we even as we look today at the rapture, that is, we look for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, many today, because it's been a period of time, time goes on, and then you hear some of these that are making radical predictions and predictions that they ought not to be making. We tend to think, well, you know, we just kind of set it aside, and we let the situation of today take away the recognition that the Lord Jesus Christ could come at any moment. But you know, Luke, as we come here to Luke chapter 1, it tells us about two of these people of faith, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Yes, there's not been any word from God, and 400 years have passed. What does faith do? Does faith walk by sight? Faith walks by the Word of God. Faith walks by the Word of God. And, you know, I think that's something that we must recognize, and I believe that here we have Zechariah and Elizabeth. We have two that we're coming to here that have walked by the Word of God. They believed God's Word, And all these years have passed. They've not seen or heard anything. There's been no prophecy from the Lord during that time. And yet I believe we'll see here are a couple that are walking by faith, trusting in the Word of God. Let's we'll examine their faith. It says in the fifth verse, there were in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Here were those that had a heritage of faith. They can trace their Jewish families. It says he was of the course of Abiah. Abiah is the name that refers to the head of the eighth of the 24 courses of which David divided into priests back in 1 Chronicles 24:10. This was Zechariah's family, of which he had remained faithful over those generations, and when he comes along, he remains faithful to that of his family. There we have Elizabeth. She's of the daughters of Aaron. She could trace her family line back to Aaron, the first priest. As I looked at that, I thought, you know, children and young people, you have a heritage of faith. You have a heritage of faith. It may go back many generations. Some of you have that kind of a heritage for generations. Some, it may be just starting with your family. Or there might even be one here that maybe you'd be the only one. Many times even that takes place. And you can start that heritage of faith. And what do you do with it? Do you keep it or do you throw it away? Do you keep it or do you throw it away? Will you follow in the steps of faith, or will you go in the way of your own fleshly desires and do as you please? This was not the way that Elizabeth and Zechariah went. They had that heritage of faith. They not only had a heritage of faith, but they walked. They had a walk of faith. Look at the sixth verse. It says, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. You think they were maybe mocked a little bit in their day? I imagine they probably were. Because there are those that just because someone seeks to follow the Lord and to live a life that is pleasing to Him, others will call them, oh, you're just old goody two-shoes, or you're just something else. But they were both righteous before God. There's no better place to be. There's no better place to be than there, to walk righteous before God. We're born in sin. We're condemned. And to be righteous, that's something that only happens. We can only be declared righteous by the Lord. It's only we can be a friend of the Lord. We can be without enmity with Him only as there is that confession and coming to Him and He does that work in our hearts, and it's through His strength that we're able to live a righteous life. I think of James. James in verse 2:23 said, the scripture was fulfilled which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I think for the Lord to call Elizabeth and Zacharias righteous, walking righteously before Him. We look at Abraham. Abraham, he believed God. It was he, because he believed God, and he walked and he went and he put his faith in him. It was imputed to him for righteousness. God gave him his righteousness, and he was then called the friend of God. Here are those that are both righteous before God. They're walking in the commandments blameless. That doesn't mean they never sinned. But they lived a life of a testimony before the Lord. You know, it could be said of you that you walk before the Lord blameless. If you will continue and walk in that fellowship with the Lord. Whenever there is that sin, if you immediately confess it unto the Lord, as we have in 1 John 1:9, you bring your life before the Lord, you confess it to him, let him know, Lord, this is sin, Lord, give me strength, help me, Lord, not to do that again or to think that or to meditate upon that evil thought, but to have a life that's a testimony of your faith. This was Zacharias and Elizabeth. They lived their faith. They didn't just speak of it. He didn't just go and serve in the temple when it was his turn to do that. And like we have many today, that the life they live on Sunday before those in the assembly is altogether different than the life that they live during the week. That ought never to be, should it? It ought not to be. And how we thank the Lord that he gives us that we can walk with him and walk with him throughout the week. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And we need to come before him, and we need to live that. Here's Zacharias and Elizabeth, a life of testimony, a life in the Word of God. There's things that comes out as we see in this passage. They lived, I believe, in the Word of God, and they lived by the Word of God. May that be our lives that we live before God. God's Word was their life. You know, I think they could have said with David, remember when David says, "Thy Word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path." If that could have if that would be the way that we would live. I thought of something else as I was studying this. Zacharias and Elizabeth. Consider the blessing of these two having a life together, walking in agreement of faith. Boy, doesn't this underline the extreme importance of your choice of a mate? Young people, children, and anyone else that is single, not having been, don't ever take second best. Look for what the Lord has for you. So many Christians' lives have been just neutralized and sometimes destroyed by their choice of a mate. Don't just pick someone that, well, she says she's a Christian, he says he's a Christian. You want someone that would be like Zachariah or Elizabeth, that are walking righteous before God, that have a life that is lived clean before the Lord in purity. What a blessing this couple must have had. Living here now, they're old. But this is what is said about them. What a blessing! What a blessing it is to live together with a godly mate. I guess I make that as a challenge to our young people and to our children. And I guess I should. Stop and back up and say, hey, those of us that are married, living together, let's make our lives to be that if it hasn't been that. Let's begin right now and live a godly life before our God. And we might enjoy that fellowship that God has designed for there to be in the marriage. That was just kind of extra. We're talking about Elizabeth, but it's there within their lives, and we see that in this couple. Something else I see of them as we examine their faith, they must have had a real test of their faith. When you look at verse 7, it says, "And they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years." You know, for a woman not to be able to bear children, for a Jewish wife not to be able to bear children, that was a real reproach upon her, and it was a grief to them. We know from the 13th verse of this chapter that this is something that they had prayed for. This was something that they had brought before the Lord. When the angel said unto Zechariah, "For thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear a child." You know, what do you do when you pray for something and you want it so bad? And you just think, this is right. It's a right thing. You know, it's normal, it's natural, and it's what God has designed, and there's many blessings of children. Lord, why don't you give us a child? You know, you can, and I have known some that have greatly struggled with this and suffered great bitterness in their own souls because of not being able to have a child. And this prayer for a child went seemingly unanswered throughout their life, and now here they are old. Elizabeth has passed the age of childbearing. No longer would it be possible for her to have a child. But you know, when I see that, I see that they have accepted the disappointment and faithfully served their God. Isn't that something? That they prayed and so desired for, that God did not grant to them, they didn't turn from the Lord. You see, they walked by faith and not by sight. You know, the Lord knows your every weakness. He knows your every desire. He knows how to satisfy the longing heart. And if He doesn't fulfill your request, it's for good reason. We just need to trust Him and live our life by faith. I believe that's what we see Zacharias and Elizabeth doing. When I see them continuing and serving the Lord and what it says about them, knowing that the prayer of their heart through those years when they thought they'd be able to have children, they got no children. And then as the age went on and time went on and they knew it's no longer possible now. But then when we come here to verse 11, here we have Zechariah. Zechariah, and I guess we go back to verses 8 and 9 and 10. It is the time in the course of time and the way they had it divided up for the service that would be. And Zacharias's lot, that was given to him to do, was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Here we have, they're there, that verse 10, the whole multitude of the people are praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Here we see that first time that there has been in the last 400 years indication of the Lord's revealing visibly here, and here this angel appears in verse 13 or verse 12. Zechariah saw him; he was troubled. He fell upon, and fear fell upon him. And the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." We see there the reward of their faith. The reward of their faith. You have this angel that comes, appears unto him, and announces to them. Remember the verse that we began with? "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him." They'd kept their heart right. They'd kept their heart right. They didn't let the disappointment, they didn't allow that to let bitterness come into their heart. And now here is a message from the Lord after 400 years of silence. This is a major tie between the Old and the New Testaments. The Lord has determined that this prophecy will have its fulfillment accomplished. That prophecy from Malachi is going to have its fulfillment accomplished in Zechariah and Elizabeth. Their prayer is heard. You know, I don't think this was probably a recent prayer. I got a feeling that, you know, age has come on. Elizabeth has passed the age of being able to bear a child. And I think they've probably just accepted it. But had the Lord not heard their prayer over those years? Did the Lord not know did the Lord not know the desire of their hearts? Was it not the Lord's will for them to have a child? Yes, it was the Lord's will for him to have a child, but not then. But not then. Their prayer of pleading in the past years, probably a prayer that was long given up. But the Lord knows how to give good gifts. You know, I think of Luke, or 11:13, where the Lord said, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask of him?" You want to give that to your children that is good for them, and you listen to their requests, you listen to what their desire is, you evaluate it, but you know, and you seek to know as a parent what is the good gift to give to them, and certainly here, the Lord has a very special gift to give to Zacharias and Elizabeth. Verse 13 says, "Elizabeth, thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Here is a literal promise. Elizabeth is going to bear a son. His name is going to be John. And verse 14, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. What a blessing it is for what the Lord gives. I remember back when my mother was pregnant with her seventh child, she wondered about her strength to raise another one. Some of you mothers might understand that particular feeling. It had been 20 years since her first son had been born. Yet, you know what she named that little girl? She named her Reva Joy. Because it was not because she was, mom wasn't looking forward to a seventh child, but recognizing this is a gift of the Lord. And she called her Reva Joy. Because I thought of this when the angel there says, he shall bring joy, and there will be joy and gladness there in your home. You know, we don't know how they overcame the obstacles of the restriction of their age in raising that child, but they were an old couple, And the little one, I mean, you know, we know why the Lord gives little ones to young couples, because they can keep up with them. But the Lord gives strength and help, and certainly I'm sure he did there to Zechariah and Elizabeth. But here was, it said, many shall rejoice, verse 14. This man would touch the lives of their whole Jewish nation that would rejoice with them. Sometimes a child will bring shame upon a family. Sometimes the Lord has said of some that it would have been better had they not been born. But this was not the case with this son. We see that he would be a spiritual great as we look at verse 15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord. He shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Here he would be great in the sight of the Lord. He would be faithful in the Nazirite vow. He'd be filled with the Holy Spirit. He would be used to turn those to the Lord. He would be used like Elijah. They were looking for Elijah to come back. Well, this was the fulfillment of that prophecy. No, this was not Elijah, but he was one who came in the, as it said there, he shall go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah. He said, this one is going to be like Elijah, and he will be in that power, in that spirit of which Elijah was. He will be coming to prepare the way of the Lord, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. You know, you can ask the question, why did God wait so long? We just know that what God does is always good. He doesn't always give us the answers to why. But certainly as we look at this couple and as I said, the Lord delayed to give them this very special child, one that would come, one that would be there to make ready and prepare the way for the one that we've been singing about when the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Before the Lord Jesus would come and be born in Bethlehem, the Lord, you know, the Lord, he does everything in a right and in a very particular way, and he predicted that in the Old Testament, of which many would not have understood how that was going to be fulfilled. Here we see it being fulfilled in bringing this one that is going to be born, and this is prior to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's timing is always right. It is always good. And he gives the most wonderful gifts of all. But you know, we go to verse 18, and we see that there was a weakness in that faith as well. There was a weakness in that faith as well. Zechariah said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years." This is a question of doubt. We know that even by the angel's response to them. But he says, "How am I going to know this? It's like what sign are you going to give me to know that this is going to be? I'm old. my wife is well stricken in years. We're both old. We can't have children." I always love this next statement. It always just sends a little tickling up my spine, tingling up my spine when the angel just says, I am Gabriel. And then he explains what that means. When he says, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God and am sent to speak to you and to show you these glad tidings. When it comes from God, when it comes from God, we know it's true. You know, we spoke about this a little bit at the end of our Sunday school, adult Sunday school class this morning, but, you know, when God speaks, it is true. It doesn't matter what any other believe or what seems like an impossibility. And here certainly with them, to Zacharias, it wasn't that he didn't believe in God, but it's like, are you sure? How can this be? How am I going to know this is going to happen? It just seems so incredible. But Gabriel, he says, that's because of where I've come from. I'm the one that stands before the presence of God, and I've got this message from God to give to you. And so consequently, it is true. And then he does say, but I will give you a sign. He says, I will give you a sign. Look at verse 20. Verse 20, is that it? And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believed not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And so, yes, he got his sign. You want to know the truth and how certain it is that everything that God says is going to come to pass? You're not going to be able to speak again for the next 9 months. And you're not going to be able to speak again until all this comes to pass. And so here as we read there and we see the, you can see the events that took place, but as we're coming here to the end of our time, I want you to jump on ahead in your Bibles there to verse 57. It says, now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how that the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day, after they came to circumcise the child, they called him Zechariah, after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. They said unto her, there's none of your kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed. And he spoke and praised God. And fear came upon all that dwelt round about them. And all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. You know, we look up there, and here we see the strength of their faith. We saw the weakness of their faith. Here we see the strength of their faith. First of all, in naming their son John. Why not Zechariah? That's, you know, this is family tradition. You don't call somebody some other name. You've got to keep this family tradition. Oh, but carrying on a family tradition was secondary to their walk of faith. It would have been nice to have had him called Zechariah. But according to their walk of faith, they were going to be obedient to God. I thought about that. And I thought, you know, how many times do we allow family to influence us not to follow what you know is the will of God? We are so prone to that. We're so prone to make choices based upon family instead of based upon what is right before God. And I, when I saw it, reading through that, I thought, wow, isn't that something? He's going to walk by faith. He's going to walk by faith. He's going to do exactly what God said. That's when his mouth was opened. Did you notice that? His mouth was opened immediately, and it was immediately evident this was of God, even to the very naming of John, who we know as John the Baptist. It was certified by God that it was true, the return of his speech. And then if you go on in the passages, in the verses to follow, as he praises God, and Zechariah gives praise unto God in this. But let's just look at the very last verses, going to verse 76, and this we'll conclude with, because here we see the blessing that it is to us as well as to the whole Jewish nation. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Oh, what a blessing it is. What a blessing it is for what we have today and what they had then. They had one to come and declare to them that we're sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, the way of peace. We have today the truth and the light of God's word. That is declared, where we don't have to sit in darkness, where we don't have to sit under the condemnation of God, but we can be accepted in the Beloved, accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we would by faith turn to our Lord Jesus Christ and put our faith and trust in Him. This was the beginning. This passage here is the beginning of the whole life of Christ. There was the ministry of John the Baptist, where he came and preached repentance to the people. He brought light to their darkened souls and prepared the way of a people then ready to accept the Lord Jesus Christ when he came and began his ministry. Who did God use for that? The faithful ones that God chose, Zechariah and Elizabeth, ones of faith, ones that followed the Lord in faith, ones who didn't allow the disappointments in life to cause bitterness in their soul and resentment against God, but they continued to serve and to serve their Lord and their God. And God honored that faith. God had a plan and a purpose for them, which they did not understand. But as they served the Lord and followed the Lord in faith, they found that very precious gift that God had for them, a son that would be there to prepare the way of our Lord Jesus Christ that was to come. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord God, for your word today. Lord, we pray that your truth might burn deep into our hearts. We pray, Lord, that you might help us as a people today. Lord, ones that have trusted you as our Savior, Lord, to walk by faith. And Lord, when things don't go as we think they ought, when things in life are not understood, Lord, let us not be bitter against you, but let us trust you with all of our hearts. Lord, remind us of Zechariah and Elizabeth in those days, in those times. And Lord, for those here today that might yet need to put their faith and trust in Christ, Lord, might they see that in Christ is the only way. He is the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by him. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Take your hymnals, if you will.